Christina Nebaker-Laufer. I am 27 years old, January 28, 2011, Phoenix, Arizona, and I am my brother's sister.
My name is Ryan Nebaker. I'm 30 years old. Today is January 28th, 2011. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, and Christina is my sister. How do you think we should, or how do you think we can keep Nana Tata's memory alive for our children? Because I know we've talked about it before. Being thankful that we have them in our lives.
For so long.
And being afraid that, well, they're going to die before we have kids, before our kids are old enough to remember them, I think. And how do we capture that? I want to know how to capture that. I want to know that we're going to capture it, that it's there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid that for some reason we won't do enough, or we can't do enough. I don't feel capable. I do, but then I don't, because they have to see them and smell them. So what do we remember? What do we tell them? How do we do it?
I guess just tell them, I'm thinking, just tell them stories of what we remember, and try to replicate everything that they've done for us. You know, give our kid high hoes when they go off somewhere. Ritz crackers or nuts.
It can't be a new bag, though, because we always got one with like a twist tie on it or something. Or he might have a pocket with lint or something on it. It was never like a brand new box, like fresh.
Mm. I think with food, the way we were talking about before, with food.
Should we hide the food in like glass containers around the house, like in jars and things, so we tell the kid to go to that jar and open it, see what's inside? Have it be a surprise, I thought that would do.
And they'd be, I don't remember him doing that with me.
There'd be like a mystery food.
I don't remember
or like
that.
Old, like at the very bottom, like older cookies, and on top something fresh and new. And sometimes Nana would be like, don't go in there. Don't do that. But I mean, I'd feel bad because he wanted me to, so I would. And I'd eat something that I wouldn't want to because it'd make him happy, make him laugh.
Like hard gum.
Or those weird candies we used to get free from when Santa would come to school. We were in elementary school on the train. Remember that big train? That train would come by on wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And Santa would be there and he'd give us those little styrofoam cups with the candies with all the stripes on them. Remember when we were at Roosevelt?
Not really.
Oh.
Well, you must remember a lot of things that I don't remember.
Those candies. So, if we're thinking about keeping our family alive or keeping the memory of our grandparents alive, I think for me, my favorite grandparents, what advice have you gotten from either one of them that you'd want your child to know, or our family to know, or my nephews and nieces to know, or would you want your nephews and nieces to know about our Nana Tata?
I was thinking that I might not actually say it to my kids or to my nieces and nephews, but I might actually, because I find myself doing it at work, talking to the kids. Don't do that, or you're going to cut your head open and die. You want to die? No, I don't say that, but I guess one thing I remember that Nana said that I remember talking to you about was, don't go into the bathroom in the park by yourself, because a little boy went into the bathroom by himself and he lost his member.
We were in the 83 Camry going down Avenue B, about to make a left onto 20th Street by the Dairy Queen. We were probably listening to Daniel Santos or Glenn Miller. I think I was in the back. You might have been in the back too. Thought that might have been driving.
I think Nana was driving.
Maybe.
That's what I remember.
She was in control of the situation and control of the conversation, like a lot of times she is. And she said, we were going to go camping in Carpinteria like we go every year.
Uh-huh.
I must have been 8, maybe. You're like 5, 6, maybe you're 8 and I was 10. I don't know what it was. And those bathrooms are kind of cold and sandy anyway, so we didn't really like them. And the water was always cold, so we didn't want to go in there. But then she told us, sure, about this little boy who went to the bathroom and a man cut off his penis.
Are we allowed to say that?
And that freaked us out. I mean, I didn't not go to the bathroom, but it freaked me out that she said that. So before you said that maybe you wouldn't tell your kids this, but then maybe you would because you say these things anyway. Why would you not want to, or why would you want to?
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like she told us that to scare us, to protect us. Not, I don't know about to scare us, but to startle us, to protect us. But sometimes I feel like she did it for shock factor, because she likes drama and gossip and things like that anyway. Because she likes to watch things that happen on TV to other people. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? They got shot and da-da-da, or so-and-so died, or this or that happened. So I feel like she's attracted to that kind of thing, and she likes telling people about gross stuff like that.
Or the story when we were go swimming at the house, and I used to like to go touch the drain, and she told me that
a little
girl sat on the drain
and sucked out her intestines.
Took out her intestines.
I remember that too.
But coming from Nana, it wasn't scary. I guess it was kind of silly scary, but she's also the one that would tell us if we pushed the mole on her back, she would throw up.
Or burp. Or fart.
I think it was throw up for me.
I think she changed it a few times.
Because she'd always she'd have us rub her nunca, she called it, or rub my back, or when we put her to sleep by rubbing her back. And my arm would get tired, I'd be there holding it up and rubbing her still. And I looked to see if she was awake, but since she's Mexican and Chinese, it was hard to tell
if her eyes were open or closed.
Yeah. And I get close to it, and she must have been awake, because whenever I get close to it, she'd like jerk forward a little bit. Well, so I knew that
she'd go like that.
Well, I knew she was awake, and it was fun. It was like it was bonding to me, I guess. That kind of gross way of doing it, I guess. Or
and it's funny because Thoth is the exact opposite. He doesn't like scary stories about kids. He doesn't like things like that, drama. He likes puppies, babies, laughing. Simple things. One thing that I'll go back to that first question that I remember that he, one thing that I always remember that he taught me, I don't know if he necessarily said it in so many words, but I always remember him saying, don't force it. And that goes for anything. Like, you know, when you get frustrated, you're trying to do something, you get angry and you start getting frustrated, and you start trying to force it to do what you want it to do. Hey, don't force it. Be gentle. Take it easy.
What was the thing he'd tell you? The saying he'd tell you?
No.
About going to the bathroom. Because when you said don't force it, I thought.
Oh, God.
Say it.
Fart, snort, cut it short. Not even, I'm surprised, and it makes me feel good every single time I see him. Because now that he has Alzheimer's. And he's in the nursing home. He doesn't always know who I am. And it's sad, but I can always rely on him knowing how to answer when I say fart, snort. He'll say, cut it short.
Or cacahuates.
Cacahuates, he'll say, de cacates. All that gross stuff. But it's refreshing, and it makes me feel good that those simple things he can remember. What are you thinking?
I mean, Nana told me that Aunt Angela that she wanted to have kids soon so that they could grow up with Nana Tata. And now I know what she feels like, because I wish I had kids that could go meet him. But I know when I write, or when I blog about them, or when I put things on Facebook about what Nana says, that I'm capturing it, but it will be able to see her, or like, smell her breath, or see the little black kids on her nose, or
the food in her
or
teeth.
Her bushy eyebrows, or watch her at the table and choking because she's laughing, but she's still trying to reach for that drink, or trying to reach for that food, or trying to put the fork back in her mouth, and it's like, Nana, stop. But she wants to eat, she wants to talk, and
laugh, do everything at the same time.
That's just the way she is, and like, I try to capture that stuff in my writing and on Facebook, like when I was there before I thought that got to the rest of home and got bad. How he was in the wheelchair a lot. Just like, he'd roll himself around in the wheelchair and he was there by the Christmas tree, and she was doing something, like getting the garland off, or she was putting something up or taking it down, and he, I can't remember what he was smiling at her or something. I can't remember exactly the story, but he said something. I guess he got fresh, or he told her she looked good, or you look cute, or whatever, and Mom was here from Florida. And she asked us if we'd excuse her because she wanted an afternoon delight. But that was so sweet because our parents haven't always been happy married, and I know not that they haven't either, because we've heard some stories about their past that have been ugly. And grandchildren should never hear those kinds of stories or those conversations or those fights or whatever that we heard not long ago. But even after, you know, 60 plus years with both of them, kind of with Alzheimer's, thought that was worse, though Nana's pretty good. They still love each other in some way. Even if they forgot all the crap that they put each other through or whatever, or it's not important. They still love each other. That gives me hope that I can have that too, or I want that. I can search for that. I can. That's my goal, to have that.
Well, and I think the thing that I'm just kind of realizing now too is that how important it is to show love, not just to show love so that other person can see they love me and they're showing me they love me, but so our children, our grandchildren, and people like that can see that there's still love there. Because I think that's the thing that brings a tear to my eye, and that's the thing that makes me feel good, is when Nana makes comments like that, afternoon delight or something like that, or when we go see him at the rest home and he's rolling there next to her and she's walking with her walker next to him, and he puts his hand on her back, or she bends down to kiss him on the cheek, and he's got a big old lipstick splotch on his cheek. Because I don't know if you remember, very little when we were younger, when they would show love towards each other. And it didn't make us think less of them or think that they didn't love each other, but it was just very rare. And I think that's something of the time. You don't really do that. That's something that you keep in a private place or whatever, I guess. I don't know. I guess that's just what I'm assuming. But it doesn't seem to run in that side of the family as far as showing affection, unless it's through comments, laughter, joking around, and things like that. I think love is shown more that way.
Through humor?
Through humor. Which I think is valuable, too. But I think the touch and things like that are very important.
But Nana was really touchy with us.
Well, with us, yeah. And it's funny because I was talking to Uncle Phil, and he said that Nana never really showed love. She never really hugged them, snuggled with them, cuddled with them. And I'm thinking that's strange because she does it with us all the time.
Well, Mom's that way with us, so she must have got it from somewhere.
Yeah. But, well, Tata, he said that Tata would do that. He'd go out of his way and make sure that he would, you know, sit with the kids, put them on his lap, or do, you know.
Well, I know he was the one that brushed Mom's hair and detangled it and would braid it and do things like that. And I always thought that was kind of strange. Like, with my own identity, you know, trying to figure out what a man is and with that not around really that much. But knowing that Tata would do those things like that, that a woman would do, I was like, damn, I can be anything I want to be because he's doing that.
Do you remember when we'd get out of the pool? That's one of the things I remember. I hated it, but I always took my towel to him to let him dry my hair. My hair was so long down to my butt, and he'd wrap up my hair in a towel. And he'd twist it and twist it and twist it till I felt like my hair was going to come out. But when he did it, it was dry, almost. And I'd still, every time, I'd take my towel to him because that was what Tata did.
Well, he knew what he was doing, and I think he still does. Even if he has Alzheimer's, he still knows stuff. Like, he'll say something and I won't understand, or I'll talk to Nana about it later, and then he'll be like, oh, he was trying to tell us something. I remember walking through with Nana in the rest home, walking through the hallways looking for Tata, because he could be in his wheelchair anywhere, really, in the bathroom, in any room, it's anywhere, they roam around anywhere, and we finally found him, we're walking down the hallway, and there's a lot of people that have mental issues there with Alzheimer's, and I think it's all Alzheimer's, but they would pat Nana on the on her shoulder or look at her or say something, and he'd give them the dirtiest look, he'd like, that's my wife, that's my wife. He like get grouchy, and she'd like, Henry, it's okay, they're just being nice, they're just being nice. And another time when, I think I went with Aunt Donna, no, I was by myself with Nana, and Tata wanted her to sit, Tata was in his bed, he hadn't slept very good, and so she went in there to see him, and he wanted her to sit on the bed. He's rubbing her back, and he looks at her, and he's like, you've gained. And she started laughing, and years before that, oh, she wouldn't have taken that. She would have been so mad, and she would have maybe not made him lunch. He had to go find his own. Something would have happened that she would have been so mad about it. But she laughed so hard with her, you know, her teeth were all showing, and her little mouth and her big lips and all those teeth. She was just laughing so happy. Another time, I think he had her sit on his lap while he rubbed her back. And while he was rubbing her back.
Didn't he try to kick us out, or he kicked you guys out? Or it's happened a couple of times where he tried to kick them out, and he wanted to have her on his bed. You remember that?
Well, he'll rub her back, and he'd be making faces. So he's making an intimate moment with her, mm-hmm. but still, like, maybe not comfortable with it, or wanting to include us, so he'll like make funny faces while he's rubbing her back, like, yeah. Oh, she's hurting my leg, she's so heavy. That's the message I get, but yeah. It's love. He never kicked me out, ever kicked me out, but I've heard of him kicking people out because he wanted some alone time, which I think is perfect. I'm sure she loved it. But he's asked her to marry him over and over. She's like, she told him, I'll maybe, or I'll think about it. I'm like, Nana, how can you tell him maybe?
Well, we see Tata in a different way. And that's what I have to keep trying to remind myself. And I feel like I have to keep telling other people. Their relationship is their relationship. And there's nothing that we can say. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing that we can convince Nana to make her act differently with Tata. That's the way she's been with him for years, and that's the way she's going to continue to be with him. That's the way, same thing for him. That's the way he's been for years. That's the way he's going to continue being. And in my mind, there's no use. I think that's what I've learned. There's no use trying to change their ways of thinking or their ways of rationalizing with each other about the way they talk to each other or the way they behave. Yeah, Nana could always be nicer. And Tata could not care as much as he does to where it makes him feel bad. But I think that's the one difficult thing about watching them grow old and having seen Tata get Alzheimer's and lose his rationality with everything. I mean, she's going to continue to tell him that he's flirting with the nurses or he's flirting with the viejita down the room, a couple rooms down.
He saved her a seat. She knows he saved her a seat next to him in the cafeteria there.
That went on that entire day. So, I mean, there's nothing we can do. We can say, Nana, it's okay, you know, but that's what they do. And if she mentions it once and he's going to go on with it, you can't change his mind, so...
Not now, you can't.
No.
But it's like, I mean, with grandfather and his addiction to alcohol, I mean, it's... If you take the alcohol away from him, he might die. If Nana thought all of a sudden become lovey-dovey different, it could hurt them too. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like they've survived this long, uh-huh. like this. But I think they're also... They've adjusted. Maybe not knowingly, but Nana's so much nicer now to him than she used to be. Mm-hmm. But... I like her sass. I like her mm-hmm. edge. I like it. It's calming to me, I guess.
Well, it's always been there. It'd be strange for her not to do that anymore. She wouldn't be herself.
That's why it's hard to see her breakdown when she breaks down. It's hard to see. started to see her without the sass, because mm-hmm. sass makes her to me, it makes her strong. Maybe that's just my perception. But when she breaks down, or I have to start being not strong, the grandchild, but a confidant or a friend, or it's like we've always given them rides, we've always done things for them and with them, but with mom in Florida, it's like I feel like we have to prove ourselves to the family, or we have to mm-hmm. do more because she can't do more or isn't doing more. We have to do more. So it's like with grandparents in Yuma, we have to be like their children in a way and do things that maybe we weren't supposed to do as grandchildren. We have to be like adults, adult grandchildren. We can't just be grandchildren anymore. Wait, do you feel that way too?
I think we were forced to be that when in the transition when mom and dad were moving to Florida. And, right, I guess, I don't know if it would be in the beginning of this deterioration or if it was in the middle. I really don't know where it was, because I think this started way before we had any idea what was going on.
He wasn't sick when mom left, though. He was still at home.
He didn't have
the nurses.
But I think his Alzheimer's had already kicked in by that time. Certain memory things.
But we didn't know that.
But the ball started rolling with it. The ball started rolling with it already, but as far as being adult grandchildren, I know you've been in the position, and you know I've been in the position of being there and hearing things that we shouldn't be hearing as grandchildren or even as children. I don't think that's something. The things that they went through in that beginning stage, those things weren't things that even Angela or Phil or mom should have even heard.
I don't know if they know what we know. I don't want to spread it. I don't want to make anyone else feel bad for what we heard. I think Etty knows some of it. But like, when did you know that you were an adult grandchild? Because we've always done things for them, but I think for me, there was a shift, for sure. And I remember when the shift was, is there an instance that you remember when you're like, okay, my role is changing?
I would say probably when we went off to college, and then when we would come and visit, when we'd go see Nana and Tata. I mean, we'd always do stuff around the house for them, but it seemed as though I think we did more for them as far as cleaning the house, doing dishes or whatever, trying to straighten up, fixing the bed. I mean, I don't know.
But mom would do those things. So we learned to do those things because she would, and we respected them and wanted to spend time with them, wanted to do good things to make them smile. So we'd do those things.
But what was the shift for you?
I think it was not long ago.
Oh, just recently?
Oh, yeah. Like when Nana broke down and she was crying and she was confused and she was unhappy and scared, and I had to be, it'll be okay, Nana. So I comforted her. Mm-hmm. When I knew it'll get worse, but I had to make her feel better. So I would just talk to her or listen to her. Even on the phone, she'll complain about this or that, and I'll try to help her see from another point of view. And so I'm like a teacher, like a mentor, like a sibling in a way to her now, sometimes. Because she asks questions or needs help, so she calls me, we talk. But
it's kind of scary when you talk with her like that and she gives you that look like she's listening to what you're saying, like she's getting advice from you, and it feels good, but it doesn't feel good at the same time, because it's supposed to be the other way around. I guess they look vulnerable, and they look innocent, and they look, I don't know, you just feel bad.
But you see him as not, this image of Nana Tata, you see him as human beings. With their story and their past that we can't change, like you said. And it's like, we have to just make peace and make love with what we can. And I think when mom left too, I think we both felt kind of responsible, or like we had to fill a gap that she left. And I feel guilty a little bit because I don't know how well I feel it. Like, I know Nana loves me. I thought that it was too, but I don't know how much I should give. But I want to give for me. I want to do my, how I want to live my life too, but I want to help them. And I feel like to Nana it's enough, but I think other people, family members see it and they're like, you could be doing all this. You could be living in Yuma. You can teach in Yuma. You could work in Yuma. So I guess, I don't know if that's, it's just part of that responsibility. And
well, and I honestly, I think that's, I mean, that's what the children do for the parents. Because we're going to have our turn. We can't spend our entire lives taking care of every single generation. I know that's understood in a lot of cultures. That's what you're supposed to do. But at the same time, like, you got to build for your family. You got to build for your children. I mean, I want to start having kids soon. How can you have kids and take care of grandparents when mom and dad are, you know, bringing up the rear as far as needing them to take care of them? And I don't want them to have to go into home if they don't have to. Like, for Alzheimer's, that's obviously understandable because that's another type of illness that needs a special kind of care. But as far as old age goes, I mean, if some, you know, I'm going to have to figure out what to do with them.
I don't think anybody ever says, I want my parents to, well, they do. They do. I don't think Auntie Angela ever thought that would happen. I think it breaks her heart.
I don't think so either. Oh, yeah.
So, no, that's what's happening, and I hate it. And I feel like it's this codependent thing where I have to fix everything. I'm responsible for everything. If I don't do it, I don't try, I don't let them know that I want to, or I would, or I could, or I think I should, then I feel like I haven't said enough if I don't do all those things. But I need to work it out.
I told Phil when I was talking to him, I said, just like what you're saying, we can't fill that gap. We can help out a little bit because mom's not there, but we can't fill that gap. That's not our place. And I told him, I said, you need to call mom. I don't know what's going on in, you know, with mom, how she's feeling about the whole situation, but we're not the middlemen for this whole thing.
I feel like I'm parenting her too a little bit. She'll be confused about something or ask a question, and I feel like I'm stepping out of being a child and I'm more like a contemporary, or I'm alongside her.
Yeah.
In a way. Even dad too, with grandfather, I feel that way too.
Well, because this is the first time that they're going through this too. They have never had their parents get to this point. You know what I mean? Everybody goes through it once in one form or another. I mean, unless you have your parents pass away before you get to the point where you have to deal with it.
I mean, I love it. I love that they trust us. They trust me to ask me questions, or they want my opinion or my advice. I love that. I mean, that's what I live for, is helping people in a way. So to help my parents is like the ultimate. And my grandparents, I'll do it. I'll give it. Whatever, I'll give it. My words, my time, whatever, I'll give it. So I like doing it. It's just not the easiest thing to do, to give. But I want to. I want to talk about food now. I don't want to cry anymore. I want to talk about food.
What kind of food?
I want to talk about Nana's recipes.
Oh.
Can I tell you, I feel guilty that she told me I could have a cookbook?
I was just going to say that.
She told me, I don't know how many times, when I die, she also told me I get her dishes from China that her dad brought. And I reminded her about that. I felt a little guilty about that. But I reminded her and I said, and she didn't remember. And I'm like, it's okay, Nana.
Remember?
Anybody can have those dishes, I guess. But I really wanted a connection to my grandfather in China. But the cookbook is big.
Well, there's other people in the family that want it. But in the end, regardless of who she decides to give it to.
Or who gets it. Regardless of who gets it. Because I'm not going to go over there. I'm not going to go over there and
snatch it. Take
it out of someone's hands or try to take it now. I mean, whatever happens to it, its destiny will be its destiny. But I know I stood by her and cooked with her. I know I've called her for recipes and she's given them to me. I make beans the way she makes beans. So, I mean, the cookbook would be, like, the ultimate. But if I don't have that, I guess I'm making peace with it, because my kids will eat her food because I'll make it the way she did. 1 cup of rice, 3 cups of hot water with chicken bouillon for the sopa.
Did she use her thumb in that thing?
To figure out how much water. But I don't
have... Did she do it in that one?
Mm. Oh, no. She did it with steamed rice when she's making for Chinese food. I don't think she did it with Spanish rice.
I don't measure it anymore. I just stick my finger in it.
But my finger's not her size or her thumb. I don't have a long nail like she does. On her thumb only.
Your tortilla thumbnail?
I don't have that. So I just measure 3 cups. Or if it looks like it needs more, I put a little bit more. But
I don't know. I've always been stuck on the tortillas. I don't know a lot of people that still make tortillas from scratch. And I remember always making tortillas with her. And making tortillas with Mom, too. We'd make them at home. Make them with Nana. And that's what I made sure I did this last time when I went over there. I told her to get out of the kitchen, but she wanted to put them on the burner. So she stood in there with her finger and turned it.
She's stubborn and cute. With her flat butt.
She need the butt?
Like a little curve. Like a little, was that not much there, but you see like the little cheeks when she has her pants pulled up. So cute.
And her crooked crack.
And when she walk, and her light was shining through her house coat, and you see that she's wearing purple underwear or whatever, I'm like, I didn't say anything, but I was like, oh God, no. Cute. What else would I cook? I guess beans.
Pozole.
I need to learn how to make that. That's one thing I need to do with her, I think. I need to get that yellow pot she has, because that's a secret. The one that Mom brought from New Mexico or Colorado. Mm-hmm. That's the Mom brought her. And she makes her pozole in there. That's like the magic pot. That one and the one that I have. Her wherever. I love that thing. She said a man came door to door in the 50s or 60s and said you could bake a cake in that wherever pot on the stove. I've never tried to bake a cake yet, but the beans don't taste the same as they do, or don't taste as good when they come out of that pot. The crock pot, they're all right. But out of that bean pot, oh, so good.
Who do you think?
Touched it.
I guess that's another thing that's going to have to be decided. I don't think Nana knew that she had to put in her will who got what cooking utensils. I already got the spoon. Remember that spoon? That wooden spoon?
Oh, I got Mom's wooden spoon. Do you know that?
I don't care about Mom's wooden spoon. I got Nana's.
I got her bean pot. I'm happy. And I have Tata's yellow coffee mug, too. They used to use. Remember
mm-hmm.
that one?
Mm-hmm. I have his wallet. I don't know why he gave me that. The little Velcro wallet. I put my money because, that's another thing that we learn specifically from Tata. To save our money. Save your money in your drawer or in your mattress or somewhere secret.
Sacrifice. And he'd say, irregardless, which isn't a word, irregardless. And I knew that was, it sounded like it should be a word. I think it should be a word.
I think other people use it.
Because regardless means without regard.
Yeah.
Irregardless means with regard, but he means without regard.
Regardless.
Irregardless. It makes sense to me. I like it. So what, before they die, what do you want to tell them?
Ay. I was going to ask you that, but I didn't want you to get upset again.
No, I think I've already said it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think there's too much more that we can say that they don't already know. I would tell Tata that if he goes first, I'm going to tell him. I said, Nana, I'll see you later. She'll see you soon. Look for her.
But I always said if I don't do what she says, when she dies, she's going to come back and haunt me, or she's going to
get me. I tell her and I tell Mom, I said, when you die, I said, you better come back and haunt me. Come back so I can see you. Remember when she used to say that, or she still says that, I think, that she smells roses sometimes? And it's her mom.
She said when she was in a rocking chair in her bedroom. She was rocking there, and I think it was October or December. October. of 1991. And she's, and I think like a crocheted blanket or Afghan. I love Afghan. Afghan Amaviska, I call it. Her Afghan that she made for me. That was the name. I named it that. She said, well, Afghan or a sweater, something fell off the rocker. And she was sitting there still, and she started to smell roses. And that was the same night that Nani died.
Same night?
Yeah. Same night that Nani died. She smelled that. But when I wanted to see my kids, I wanted to come back and see my kids. I don't care if she haunts me, but I want to know that she saw them.
I think next time we go there, we need to take the video camera.
But I don't want to tell her that, make her cry, or make her feel like I think she's going to die soon.
Oh, she won't cry. She talks about it so much, I don't think she's going to cry. But
I
wonder,
I guess I should say it when we're laughing or when she's choking, and she's in a really good mood. I should say something like that. I really wanted to know that. I don't know if it's possible. I mean, I don't know. I don't think I believe in heaven or hell. I don't think I believe in any of that. I don't know what happens to us. I think we're reincarnated. And I think I talked to Nana about reincarnation. I can't remember what she said she wanted to come back as. Or she thought she used to be.
She'll probably come back as a cat. Do whatever the heck she wanted and have sass.
Yeah. Plenty of attitude.
You know what I think? You know what smell? And it sounds kind of gross. What smell reminds me of? Tata?
I don't know. I think what I would say.
Dirty dishcloth. See, you know when it starts to stink before, like when it's getting that moldy smell? Because his hands always smelled like that.
I don't think of him when I think of that smell, but I know what you're saying.
I think of him when I smell that smell.
For Nana, I smell cinnamon gum. Because her breath isn't very good most of the time. I think she knows it, but yeah. She loves some cinnamon. Big Red, or whatever's on sale, but usually Big Red, she'll buy Big Red. She used to buy Big Red. Thought they would have Bubblicious, grape, and strawberry, every flavor we wanted. He had Big Ol', or Bubble Yum. Bubble Yum is what he had. But Nana's scent, I think, is cinnamon or gardenia, her lotion. I don't know what smell.
Rubber bands.
I just see his white legs and...
Rubber bands his and dirty dish.
Showing through and towels. No hair on his legs and butt crack showing sometimes. And I'm saying, pull your pants up.
Well, I think we have enough good memories to balance out the other stuff that's happened. And I think we have enough good memories to talk to our kids about.
I feel like I need to constantly be writing these things down. And then what if watch my kids won't want to read it? Or they'll be on the internet, they'll say, what's that paper? I said, you have to read this about your great grandparents. I don't want to read that, or I'll be telling your kids, you better read this. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to probably abduct your kids. I'm going to take them with me somewhere, and I'm going to force them to hear stories about us.
Oh, my goodness.
And mom and dad and our parents, or our grandparents. I'm going to make sure they know that stuff. I mean, I trust you'll tell them, but I want to be that weird uncle that's like, oh, he's going to tell us a story again. I don't care if I'm that person. I'm cool with it.
Then they'll be sitting here and talking about us like this.
That'd be fine as long as I get to know they did or get to hear it. I think I'd be cool with that.
Well, let's fart, snort, and cut it short.
I guess I had more to say than I thought. Oh, God, I'm glad I got it out, though.
Good.
Fart, snort, cut it short.
Cacahuates.
Love you.
I love you too. Again. Oh, did you use the whole box?
I think it's empty. I'm going to tear up the box and blot my nose with the box.